Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Small Town World. I'm Lee Creech.
And Kayla Couples.
And today we are going to discuss mocking God, and specifically mocking God in culture as the world is is the way that it is right now. Yeah. What does it mean? What does it look like? And so do we want to just jump in and did you define what it meant?
I found a definition by Charles G. Finney. He was a theologian from some time back. But anyway,
okay.
So this is what he said. Now, he's not just talking about in society, but also in the church, because that was another point that
that was another point we want to address.
Had, and then I'm going to give some synonyms that might help. That's what helped me as well.
Okay.
So he said, to mock God is to pretend to love and serve him when we do not. To act in a false manner, to be insecure and hypocritical in our profession of Christ, pretending to obey him, love, serve, and worship him when we do not. So that is a good definition that we should apply to ourselves when we're examining those of us within the church. But outside of that, some synonyms, words like disdain, disrespect, lack of fear, contempt.
Yeah.
Low esteem, or to hold in a low esteem.
Yes.
Scoffing, defiance, ridicule, rebellion, and then even open hostility. So I think that's a pretty good, whichever side of it you're looking at it from, I think that kind of defines.
I wrote down some of the exact same things. I wrote one definition said, pretending to love and serve him when our hearts are insincere, to disrespect and dishonor or ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really falls into the Christian that ignores him. To be irreverent to God or to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then what is blasphemy? Let's take it a step
further. So look, that's so funny you said that, because I just in doing my study came across several things, and I'm anxious to hear what you thought. I put, is blasphemy the same as mocking God?
Well, I just put, what is blasphemy? The act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things, and then profane talk that's the definition of blasphemy that I found. And so, yes, I would say
profaning God. Profaning God was in, I didn't write that down, but that wasn't something else that I read. And it's a scary line, I guess, is the point that we're examining, is that what are some ways that we are seeing it in society, but what are some ways that we are also unconsciously guilty?
And actively participating.
Yeah, and actively participating, or at least being conditioned to.
I wrote the word, we as Christians, that's my very first point, was that we as Christians are often desensitized.
Desensitized, that was the word I was thinking
of. To the slights against God and to against God's word.
Yeah.
So that was the very first point that I wrote. And then I put Galatians 6, 7, and 8, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And
I'm going to go on, and because I have verse 9 and 10 as well.
Yeah, read them.
Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. The version that I think mine's English Standard, and it said,
and mine's NIV.
God is not mocked.
So go, that was a point of discussion I wanted to go into. So when it says God is not mocked, I know how I interpret that. That means that one day you will stand before him and answer for what you did. And he's not offended per se by what you're doing, but you're going to answer for what you're doing.
That's kind of my take on it too. And I had in my mind when I was thinking about this, the scrawny little unathletic team member that runs up to the opposite team's star player and acts a fool, we're going to beat you, you're not strong, just essentially mocking that person.
Right.
When in reality, that person is just standing there looking at him like, you're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because the scripture calls those people a fool.
Right.
You're a fool.
Because over and over in Psalms and Proverbs, it says God laughs at the scoffer.
Right.
He's laughing from heaven.
And so although we are truly examining the fact that the world in their eyes is mocking God.
Right.
The reality is, like you said, he is, other than his heart being grieved,
right,
he is unaffected by the mocking. He is not lessened in his supremacy. He's not lessened in his sovereignty and authority just because the world is mocking him.
Yeah, and I would go a step further and to say that he's hurt by his children. That would be what I would say to that. Not even being aware, like we said, desensitized to it, because it's so prevalent. Some of it is obvious.
Right.
And some of it is just, does it make us cringe? Does it make us, uncomfortable? Yeah. So it's obvious in certain circumstances who and what mocks God. And then when we see it openly, I would say we flee from that.
Yeah.
We turn away from that. An example, I wrote the Ariana Grande song from years ago that said, God is a woman. Okay. I would say that that's blasphemous. Right?
Yeah.
2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. I would say again, primarily it's youth. We're listening to Ariana Grande. I'm not listening to her. So flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness and faith.
We talked yesterday just in conversation about how the mockery is often in jokes. And I'm going to let you speak to that in a moment. It is often in our actions, but it's also in the attitudes of our own hearts or in the hearts of mankind in general. And then I thought specifically about some things that you and I have talked about over the last year or so, and then just things that we're seeing in society, because essentially any non-biblical worldview fits into that category of mocking God, because it is a rejection of his word and his authority. And I thought about arguments against creation. That's mocking God, and compromise of our personal holiness, universalism, the LGBTQ plus ideology. All of those are just the examples that came to my mind right off the top of my head of just some pretty blatant mockery of God.
Right. A big thing right now is in the corporate world and in all of the world is inclusion.
Yes.
And diversity.
Education.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Inclusion and diversity. We need to include everyone. We need to listen to everyone's opinion. And what is so prevalent within that is that they discard Christianity within that. They're tolerant and everybody needs to be included, and we need to have all of these different schools of thought except for Christianity.
Right.
We need to disregard that. That's the one we need to leave out.
Right.
And so again, I would say that that's mocking God.
Yeah. Well, when you think back that it's contempt and ridicule and rebellion and disrespect and disdain, the hostility,
the open hostility,
all of those things that we see right now for the Christian faith, and particularly Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a couple of new Christian people that I've seen say and do things that are just disturbing and upsetting. And so a huge part of that is knowing God's Word and knowing God rightly and being able to represent Him rightly so that you don't accidentally fall into the category of mocking God, or being a mockery just by your actions and your words. And these are people real time saying things recently, that are just disturbing because they don't know God.
Yeah.
They don't know Him rightly yet. And so just being careful.
And that's such a scary is the right word, but it is such a, in my heart, I feel sorry for them because they don't know yet. And up until recently, you had a small little circle of people in your world that saw you make a fool of yourself as you were a baby Christian.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And now you say something out of ignorance.
Yeah.
Of God's word or God's standard or God's holiness or his character or whatever, and everybody sees it.
And it's viral. Completely, totally viral.
Everybody sees it. Yeah. And the scary thing about that is that you unwittingly mar the name of Christ. I mean, yeah, essentially is what we do when we do that.
Yeah.
And so I pray that there's someone in those people's...
I prayed the same thing.
...life and world that can disciple them in...
And mentor them.
And mentor them in that. In mm-hmm. the For all of us. I mean, praise God, I had one. I had several yeah. people in my life that mentored me through that stage of my Christian walk where I did understand, I grow to understand how my actions were reflective of what people thought of the church and what yeah. people thought of God.
Yeah. And not being a stumbling block. So I wrote, the lack of fear of God is the root of mockery. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Because they don't fear God. Tell about what Shane told you that, was it Jim Baker?
She has
a blank look on her face.
Well,
but I'll tell the story.
Please tell it, because I remember exactly the story, but I can't quite remember how he said it. So if you remember how he said it.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how he said it either. That's why I wanted you to tell it. But the bottom line is, I think he said, when did you start to fall out of love?
Yeah, love, yes.
When did you start
exactly.
to fall out of love with God? And he said he didn't. He just stopped fearing him.
Yes, I never stopped loving God. I just stopped
yeah.
fearing him.
Is that the quote?
Something,
is that correct?
Something like that. But
something
that was
similar.
Yeah, that was the sentiment of what he said.
So it was a jailhouse interview, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So jailhouse interview, and he was asked, when did you stop loving God? And he stopped fearing. And so I read... And I think part of that is going back and reading scripture, because I read scripture. I read scripture today that makes me like, ooh.
Right.
You know, I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I feel conviction. I feel like, you know, please, Lord, don't let that be me.
Right.
Don't let me fall into that, you know. So I guess maybe part of that is staying in the Word.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you agree with that?
I mean, obviously, to me, that's the answer to so many of our problems. That's the answer
yeah.
to so many of the things that we talk about. I think one of the other one you had pointed out is just discernment.
Yeah.
And recognizing it when you see it. Because
yeah.
for so often, as we grow in the Lord, those things don't bother us initially. But
mm-hmm.
as the Lord grows us and
yes.
as we know him more, then all of a sudden those things do start to prick our hearts and begin to bother us, and we do, our eyes and ears are open to these things that aren't pleasing to God.
Yeah. So there's a Christian comedian that I love to watch, and he's so good. And what I guess what I see in him is that most of the time he does great. He mocks Christian behaviors. Me and Kayla both have children who have biblical names, for instance. And so he jokes around, and most of the time it's teasing Christians about Christian behavior. It's when I see Christian comedians cross the line is when they tease about scripture, or they tease about the character of God, or they tease about...
Even the Christian standard, the whole
yeah,
God
the holy
standard, yeah,
yeah. So that's when, and I can recognize the line when I hear it. I'm like, no, you crossed a line right there.
Right.
No, that's not acceptable. You know, the other stuff, sure, make fun of me.
Right.
Because, you know,
you're probably right.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
I can take it. I get it. So make fun of all of us. And I laughed hysterically when he was talking about the people with the Christian
yes.
named kids, the biblical named kids.
The biblical named kids. The clip about his sister in the house and having the verse about being persecuted, and she just built this new,
yeah.
you know, fancy.
Gorgeous mansion.
Gorgeous home. And she's talking about, you know,
yeah.
struck down, not abandoned, persecuted, you
right,
know, all that.
Right.
He He's like, you know, you don't know anything about being persecuted. And all that is funny because
that
it is true.
That is funny because it is true, right? So all of those things. But just like you said a while ago, being able to recognize the line. And I feel like I can recognize it. And there's probably a lot of other things, pray that the Lord grows me
right
to see it all. You know, that our eyes are always open and aware and looking for it.
And I think that is an important point to remember as we are all serving the Lord and growing together and on this journey at different points, because, you know, there are going to be things that you're convicted of that the Lord has not yet convicted me of. It doesn't mean that He's not going to.
Right.
As He grows me. So, yeah, just having grace for each other as we... Yeah. As we do grow. But so we said ways to avoid the traps within the church, because I think obviously that's the audience that
we have.
And so as you think about your own walk with the Lord, in what areas of your life do you find yourself disregarding sin, dismissing mm-hmm. sin?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
probably the most thing, the most glaring thing that I can think of is what I watch, what I allow yeah. myself to watch, what I allow myself to watch on TV, what I allow, movies that I allow myself to go to, probably same thing with my child, things I let her watch. It's going to be, that's probably the primary thing
yeah.
where I would say that I fail, you know, and I pray that the Lord convict
right.
me of those things.
And
He does.
Yeah. And He does. And so as we think about someone that's listening, like if, I think that's a great place for us to start, is to just to evaluate what areas of my own life do I find myself being disrespectful of God's word,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even have some contempt for what He says I should do with my life or the way I should live my life, you know.
That leads to a really good scripture. Let me read it real quick.
Yeah, please.
Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So... hating evil,
hating.
And recognizing evil
yeah.
and hating it.
So staying in the Word, recognizing evil, hating evil, really evaluating our own behaviors and viewpoints. How do we view things? It's not bothering anybody. If the world does this, that's not affecting me. That's none of my business. But the Scripture doesn't say that.
Right.
We are supposed to take note of those things, and they should affect. They do affect us.
Mm-hmm.
And making a stand for what's right and what's biblical and what's true is a way, I think, that we can counter the mockery.
Yeah. There's one last thing, and you asked me a question, I'm going to throw you a
okay.
question.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
Okay. So Matthew 12:30-32, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to get you to tell everybody what it means.
Okay. It's like a quiz show. Let's see what happens.
A quiz show. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, people will be forgiven for every sin and blasphemy, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So, tell us that interpretation.
I can tell
scripture.
You what I've always been taught about the blasphemy, and this goes all the way back to our own dad, because that was
yeah.
something that because that always scared me.
That verse has always scared me too.
It has always scared me because
I've
always been so afraid that I was going to blaspheme the Spirit and not know I did it.
Right.
And so the way that our dad always tried to explain it to me, the way my pastor always. Previous pastor always tried to explain it to me was that is the open rejection
yeah.
of the truth of God.
Okay.
It is the open rejection of Jesus
yeah.
as the Lord and Savior that He is.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what that's theologically called. I just know that's what I've always been taught.
Me too. Yes.
Yeah.
Same dad. So,
same
yeah.
dad. Yeah.
Same dad.
Same answer.
Same answer. I just wondered if that was still your thinking.
Yeah.
Still, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think that God is too kind. He is too loving. He's given us too much information that He's not going to. He's a kind Father.
Yeah.
You know, and to think that we could sin unawares to that degree that we would be severed from Him forever.
Mm-hmm. Without explaining it in Scripture somehow, and
yes.
somewhere.
Once we are His children, I think that we would have to completely deny him for who he is, mm-hmm. and walk away. And we would do that knowingly.
Yes.
That's a known choice.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
As opposed to those sins that we still struggle with in our walk, and even those that we are resistant to repent of. Mm-hmm. You know, not that God is not trying to get rid of that rebellion in our hearts, because he obviously is. He's going to always do that until we meet him face to face. But it's an open rejection.
Yeah.
And so that, honestly, that's why I wrote the question, is blasphemy the same as mocking God?
Yeah.
And.
Well, it says he forgives blasphemy.
Yeah.
But not blasphemy against
the Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we can be forgiven for perverse speech. I think we can be forgiven for those other things. If it's all about our heart. And I wrote that, you know, going back to the Christian comedian for just a second.
Yeah.
I wrote that too. What is the heart motive? And are they showing contempt for God? So when we're listening to somebody, can we tell that they're openly showing?
Yeah.
Is there just a hint of hostility? Is there contempt with anybody,
right,
who's talking and speaking? So I guess that's a place to start looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have for today. Is that?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, we thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you again next time, and we'll have another topic. Thanks.